Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. And again, I really trust that's what happens when you tune into our station, when you listen to our program, that it gets you looking in the right direction, gets you looking up to Jesus. Now, I have to admit, this last week, we've been covering some pretty heavy topics. We've been covering topics that are kind of just sombering, and yet we've covered everything from grief to loss of a loved one through suicide. We've been covering some pretty heavy things, considering we're heading into the Christmas season, just a week away now. And yet, the people that you've heard us interview, the testimonies that we've shared, I really do believe it's caused you to look up to Jesus, because these parents who've lost their children, the people who've called in, those that we've had on this program this last week, all gave glory to God and keep their eyes on the Lord. And in spite of their loss, in spite of what they've gone through, they're looking to Jesus to be the Redeemer in their loss. And so I do think, though, here we are, it's Friday, right? Yeah, so let's wrap this week up with a little bit of a lighter topic. We're getting ready for Christmas. Next week, we'll probably cover more in-depth Christmas topics, maybe look at the Christmas story itself and go a little bit in-depth. But one of the things that's on my heart is I'd love to, and Linda thinks I'm mischievous by doing this. Maybe she's right. I love to kind of clear up Christmas misconceptions, things that people think Christmas is about, and traditions and things about Christmas that we've got it all wrong. So I like to clear that kind of stuff up. We will do that. We're going to open up the lines today, because we've had a lot of interviews this week and we haven't had a whole lot of callers, and we've actually purposely shut down the lines and said, we're not going to take any calls this today. We did it several days in a row. What I'd like you to think about, if you'd like to call in, we'd like to hear from some of you on what do you think are some of the rich family traditions that you have practiced during Christmas time that you'd like to share with others and maybe even get the fad going. I know my wife and I, we've got some from our parents in the Christmas celebration. But there's also some of you, maybe you have some deep theological conflicts that I want to celebrate Christmas, but I've heard about the pagan origin and the pagan roots. And some of you have some real deep theological conflicts. We could talk about that. But some of you might even have troubling traditions. You know, it's like, why in the world do they do this at Christmas time? Of course, some dear friends of ours would always comment. I remember their children growing up. As a matter of fact, it was my pastor in California and his wife. Their kids used to call Santa Claus Fatso Faco. Or Satan Claus. I'm not sure if they use that one, but they'd always call him Fatso Faco. And some people just really hate and resent the whole idea of anything besides the Christ of Christmas, because the distractions of the Santa Claus and the reindeer and all the other Christmas traditions. So if you want to talk about that, we're going to open lines. I think I'll let Linda talk a little bit right now. She'll tell you how you could connect with us.
Okay. Hey, Mike, maybe you want to check your phone and your connection, because we're getting some comments that it's not coming through very clear. It keeps stopping. And I have interrupted broadcast right now. So while I'm talking, why don't you fix your Facebook and see if you've done something that maybe is messing it up, or maybe, I don't know what you want to do. But hi, everybody. I hope that you've enjoyed what we've been going through. Not that you can enjoy some of these sad stories that you're hearing, but I feel they're necessary, because I know there are people out there who have lost a loved one and they're blaming God. They've turned away from the Lord. They turned away from their faith. We don't want that for you. If you're one of those people listening, you need to hear the stories where we keep going. We don't blame God for the horrific things that we've gone through, okay? But like Mike said, we're going to make it a little simpler today. Hey, we're going to deal with misconceptions. Always asking for trouble here. Now, if you've got, as he said, if you have a misconception that you feel is about Christmas that you'd like answered, we might be able to find that answer for you, okay? So, you know, you can give us a text message. You can give us a call. You can put it in on Facebook. The number here is 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. That puts you live on the air with us. If you don't like the idea of being live on the air, you can send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that one is 208-891-2635. If you're out there in Facebook Live land, you go ahead and leave some comments, and we'll see what we can do as we deal with some of these misconceptions. Now, one thing I want to tell you about, because I have been very busy, and so, you know what? I am proud of what I've done, okay? It's like you get some work done, you accomplish something, you see something that didn't work, that you made work. And it's like, okay, thank you, Lord, for helping me along the way with this one. And it's our webpage, and that is lookuptojesus.com. That was pretty much a dead page, but I have slowly been working on it and trying to, since we went to the hour format, to get those shows up. Well, I can tell you, except for the last few this week, because we were really busy yesterday, I haven't had a chance to go up and look and see if the station has posted them. When they do, I pull them, I put them on. But I can tell you, we've got all the way up through last Friday, at least. And as soon as I can, I will get the newer ones on. You go to lookuptojesus.com. That is our show's website. And we have it now that if you look in the little menu bar at the top, you'll see shows by category. This is what I've been working so hard on, so that when you open the page, you just don't see a long list of messages and you try to find what you're looking for. I have given them over on the right-hand side a sidebar that you can click on. If you want to hear the messages about grief, it's there. If you want to find the messages where it's been a testimony, like where Pastor Ed Taylor called in, and for those of you out in Facebook Live land, you didn't get the whole message. We lost the last 10 minutes. But if you go listen to the audio, you will find that under grief. You'll find it under testimonies. Okay, there's special messages. There's our series on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And you can find just those topics. And if you're looking for just Ed Taylor, I even put a search bar up there for you. You can put his name in, and it will bring up his message. So I'm trying really hard to make this usable, because I feel like it's more than just us being on the air right now live. This can continue to go on. And when you go up there, you can right-click on, download this message, and you can download it to your own computer, and then you can pass it out wherever you need to, you know, as you feel. Some of the messages may mean more to you than others, so you can look for them this way. So I do that for you guys. Okay, so that you will have a page easy to use. And if you go look at it and you find, Linda, this doesn't work, oh, please email the church or text the church and let me know, and I'll work on fixing it. I've learned WordPress fairly good now with a crash course of this. So I want to get on to our topic about these misconceptions. I've been reading some of this that you were looking at here, and I kind of like where it's going.
Oh,
so,
okay. I didn't know.
And I think that the people in our audience today would like to see where this is going. What are some of the misconceptions? If you guys listened Tuesday, we had Dr. Stephen Todd on. He gave us kind of a history of Christmas. I don't think he even covered everything he wanted to, but with Martin Luther bringing in the Christmas tree, and I mean, some of these things that as young Christians, we were made to feel really guilty about. I think we want to lift some of those because it took our joy away and we just thought, pagan holiday. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't have to be. It does not have to be. And some of the things that we may think were pagan things, maybe they're not. So as we go into talking more about Christmas next week on Monday, we're going to play Dr. Stephen Todd's message again so that you can hear that history, and then we'll come in the rest of the week and fill that in for you. So, Mike, let's get started, okay?
Okay. By the way, I got this from the website Answers in Genesis. You know, Ken Ham's ministry, they do a great job of defending the faith as far as the creation-evolution debate. And I recommend if you're interested in that sort of thing, just go to answersingenesis.org, actually. And it's all one word, no spaces, no caps, answersingenesis.org. And actually, I wasn't even going to that site, but I did like a simple Google search on misconceptions for Christmas. And it took me right to their page as well as others. And they give four misconceptions. I want to read, it's interesting because I'm looking at this. It's by Tim Chafee and Jeremy Ham. And I wonder if Jeremy is Ken Ham's son. I don't keep up with that so well, so I'm not really sure. Let me read the intro to it. So far in this series on misconceptions about Christmas, we've examined some of the most common elements of the Christmas celebration, such as the inn and manger, singing angels, and the wise men, which, by the way, I went and I found those articles, and I'm prepared to talk about them if we get to that, if we have time, and maybe if you have questions about it. We also provided an in-depth timeline of events following the birth of Jesus in this article. We want to take a cursory look at several more misconceptions. Now, I'm looking at it. If you want to go right to it, it's just too long of an address for me to tell you because that's answersingenesis.org/holidays/Christmas, blah, blah, blah. So there's too much. I would just say search their website if you want to find more about this. And by the way, we're totally open for interruptions because I'm curious.
I got an interruption for you. We had Vicki write in, send in a text that I had to separate myself from any old familiar and family traditions. So I began my very own tradition of reading Richard Paul Evans' book called The Christmas Box. It helps me remember what Christmas really is. Hmm. They used to read the book on local commercial radio stations, but not anymore. How sad. Hmm. So I feel like I do know what this is, but it's not coming to mind.
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
So
if
we're going to have to look at that. Maybe we'll read it next week.
Is it the Christmas box? Is that what it's called?
The Christmas box, yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Vicki. And that's what we want to hear from our listeners. If you have suggestions, and I'm kind of curious, but we won't get into it now, that you had to separate yourself from all the old traditions of Christmas. Sometimes it's painful, you know, the kinds of Christmas traditions that your family has had, and you just want a fresh start, or you want to start new traditions for your family. That's great. Like I said, Linda and I have had some really good experiences, good memories with the Sasso family Christmas. You know, my dad would do stuff like every year he would do a guess what. That's just who he was. He had to do a guess what. He'd put a box under the tree and it was wrapped in a way that you couldn't tell what it was. And he would ask all the kids and grandkids to guess. I don't know if they got more than one guess, if you remember or not, but he'd let us all guess, and whoever guessed it would get the gift as well as a cash prize. And he'd give you clues. You know, he'd have a list of clues. And it was always funny, tricky little clues just to keep you off balance. And, you know, it could be anything from something valuable to like a fly swatter. It could be, you know, you never know. My dad was always good at that kind of thing. So it always kind of brightened up our Christmas, and all the kids and grandkids always looked forward to, wonder what the guess what is this year. And, you know, some of the kids, I know what it is. You know, it kept a lively interaction going on with the Sasso family at our Christmases. I also would like to know, and before I start reading this, from our listeners, I know there's quite a wide range of Christians from various walks of life, various denominations. What do you do with Santa Claus? Do you think it's totally satanic? You don't have anything to do with it? Do you think the Santa Claus tradition is harmless and you tell the kids Santa is coming and you give a gift from Santa? Do you start out right from the very beginning and tell your kids there is no Santa Claus and it's just a tradition, or they're actually, if you were listening to Dr. Stephen Todd's program with us earlier this week, he told the story of the bishop was it Bishop Claus? I forget what his name was. Nicholas. It was Nicholas. And he told the story of this guy was actually a bishop of the church, and he fought against heresy. A lot of interesting insights from someone with a theological background. So I'm curious if you want to call in and talk about any of those things and maybe tell us what your family has chosen to do with the whole Santa Claus thing. And by the way, no judgment here. If you practice the whole thing of Santa Claus and reindeers, we're not going to put a big trip on you and say you're a bad Christian if you don't. We're not going to say don't be so legalistic. And I think there's room there for Christians to take their stand on either side. It's what your conscience will allow you to. And we had our own tradition. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, so the beginning of from answersingenesis.org, the first misconception about Christmas. And I'm going to read it unless I get a call from you. Again, the number here is area code 208-377-3790. If you call, we'll take a break from what we're talking about. We want to talk to you, want to hear from you. Area code 208-377-3790. All right? Now, here's the first one. X stands for Christ. And now I think, by the way, the writer here in Answers in Genesis is very fair, and you'll see what I mean as I read on. We've all seen the signs wishing people a Merry Xmas. What does the X stand for in Xmas? How can some claim that the X stands for Christ while others say that it's another attempt to removing Christ from the culture? Which is correct? His answer? In a sense, both. Okay, so let me give the explanation here. Christ is a title given to the Lord Jesus to signify that he's the Messiah. In Greek, this word for Christos, and he spells it out in the Greek, it starts with what it looks like in English as an X. Since the first Greek letter of this title is the letter Chi, looks like an X in English, some have used it as an abbreviation for Christ. Many have claimed that this practice dates back to the first century, and there's solid evidence that shows that this was practiced in the 16th century, perhaps at a cost-saving measure for those using the printing press. However, those using the abbreviation would still pronounce the X as Christ. Which, by the way, I think this could be work to our advantage as Christians. When you see somebody putting up an X on their window at Christmas time, or maybe Merry Xmas, or you know you're at a store or at a mall and it says Merry Xmas, and you're having a conversation with somebody, this would come in handy. Say, you know what that X stands for? In Greek, the word Christ starts with what looks like an English letter X, and so it actually is an abbreviation for Christ. It stands for Christmas. You could go anywhere you want with it from there, okay? So it would be fun. Just a little bit of knowledge, armed with a little bit of knowledge, makes a big difference to just start a good, healthy dialogue at Christmas time. Now, I'm going to keep reading here. There's no question that many use the X today for the very purpose of eliminating Christ from the holiday that bears his title.
See, and I think that's funny because they think they're eliminating when in actuality,
right,
the X stands for right. Christ. So they didn't get rid of him. They're still, got it in
well,
there.
They're clueless.
They're clueless. They have no idea. Know. They think, okay, we just pulled this out of there. That's the end of it. But it's not. I think that's very ironic. So.
Well, you hung around with me too long. You've got a twisted sense of humor. There is no question that many use the X today for the very purpose of eliminating Christ from the holiday that bears his title. Some may even do this in ignorance. Secularists have been working hard to remove any mention of God, Jesus, and Christianity from our culture. Should we expect anything less from those who don't know the Lord? Just came to me. I think I heard on the news this week. Is it Michigan? I think it might be Michigan. There's two different states that actually the Satanists have petitioned that either along with or instead of the manger scene at the city hall, that they've petitioned that they were able to put up a satanic symbol. And I've seen an image, and I'm trying to remember what exactly it was. I think at one point last year they actually had a cross with a goat head on it. They've done some pretty wicked things. and the state government has actually given in to them. And any of our listeners, if you're aware of that, especially if you're on Facebook Live, maybe you could find it and send us the link and we could talk about that a little bit. But, you know, there's always a battle of people who hate Christ and hate Christmas, and they want to, They just want to blaspheme. They want to bring shame upon the name of Christ and make it a blasphemous thing, instead replacing the manger scene with something satanic. And so I did see that in the news. I wasn't prepared to talk about that today, so I didn't bring that with me. But if anybody has that, send it to us so we could maybe discuss it a little bit. So let's wrap this first misconception up. So what is a Christian to do? Can we use the abbreviation, or what must we always write out Christmas? I say Christmas because that's Christmas, you know. I believe one needs to follow his or her own conscience, guided by the Holy Spirit on this issue, as with every other. It is not sinful to use abbreviations, but it would definitely be wrong for a Christian to use it because he or she is ashamed of Jesus Christ. As such, one must examine his or her reasons for whatever decision they reach. So something to think about, something interesting. Next time you see Merry Xmas, you know there's a little story behind that, which, by the way, another interesting insight you could connect that with is our ichthys fish. If you've ever seen the ichthys fish and know the story behind it, it's IXOYE, and it was a code that the early Christians used to mark their meeting places. When you were trying to find where the Christians were meeting, they would draw a little fish in the dirt outside of the hall, and that's how they would recognize it, kind of a secret code where the Christians are meeting. And because IXOYE spells fish, and that's how we get the ichthys fish. But even more than that, IXOYE, at least the English letters, are actually, it looks like IXOYE to us, but in the Greek, those are the Greek letters for the first word, the first letter in each word of the sentence, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, IXOYE. And that X is Christ. And the I is Jesus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. Okay, so now you know the story about the ichthys fish, if you didn't know that already. And that X is the same X we see in the ichthys fish that people sometimes are alluding to when they say Merry Xmas to abbreviate Christmas. But keep in mind, there are some who are using the X just to cross out Christ, okay? But, you know, being armed with that information, use it. Use it this Christmas. When you see it and when you the conversation comes up, you could let people know that the X stands for Christ and you could tell them all about Jesus, okay? You got something?
I just think that's great. Yeah.
She got to look at her face like she wants to say something.
I just find it so funny that, you know, here they think they're Xing him out and instead they're still claiming Christ.
Right. Right.
Okay. Sorry. Go on. Okay.
All right. So the second misconception about Christmas from answersingenesis.org is this. Jeremiah 10 forbids the use of Christmas trees. Now, I don't know if you've ever been there. I'm very subject, at least as a young Christian, I was very subject to guilt and conspiracy theories, and you find something in the Old Testament that shows you that we're blaspheming God if we put up a Christmas tree. And I remember we used to send around this text. I'll read it to you in a moment, but let me just read to you this article. It says, some Christians have cited the 10th chapter of Jeremiah as evidence that we should not use trees in our Christmas celebrations. Now, remember, when Dr. Stephen Todd was on with us earlier this week, he told us the story of the Christmas tree and how it actually originated from Martin Luther, who started cutting down trees. He had a vision and just thought it was something great and brought the Christmas tree into his home, only did a stupid thing and put candles on it. Who would do something like that?
It was to represent the stars that he's seen in the background.
No, but just start a fire. Okay, so the Christmas tree is actually one of the origins of it is actually Martin Luther at Christmas time. Okay, let me go on. However, one merely needs to take a close look at the text to see that this is not the case. I'm going to read to you Jeremiah 10, the first five verses. And I remember we would find stuff like this as young Christians.
Oh, it'd scare us to death.
Oh, man. It's like, I'm worshiping the devil by having a Christmas tree. Now, some of you out there may have already bit the bullet. You know, there are some people who for years they haven't had a Christmas tree because Jeremiah talks about how sin and blasphemous it is to have a Christmas tree. And well, you know what? If your conscience won't allow you, especially even after we talk about it and explain it here, if your conscience won't allow you to have a Christmas tree, well, then you do what your conscience allows. Because the Bible does say in Romans that to him who thinks it is sin, it is sin. Whatever you can't do in faith is sin. And if you think something is sin and you do it anyway, then it's a sin, okay? But if you can get over it, and realize, you know what, this might not be a sin after all, and you could grow past it. It's funny because in Romans 14, particularly in various parts of Scripture, the legalist, the person who can't do this and won't do that and puts all the rules on himself and puts on rules on everybody else, is actually considered the weaker brother. If you read in 1 Corinthians as well, when we were going through 1 Corinthians, that he who is weak eats, you know, won't eat meat, you know. And so there are certain things you put on yourself and you put on others. And really, it's the weaker Christian who does that. It's the more mature Christian who realizes, I'm above that. I'm not bound by that. I'm free. I'm free in Christ, and I'm free to do this and free to do that. Now, you're not free to sin. Okay, now, let me read to you Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1 through 5. Do not learn the ways of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the works of the hands of a workman with an axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammer so that it will not topple, and they are upright. Like a palm tree, they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go by themselves. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Now, you could read the whole chapter for more information, but we would find texts like this and say, see, that's the Christmas tree. But if you read it in its context, it's actually talking about the pagans, you know, cutting pieces of wood out of trees and making idols for themselves and worshiping the idols. And they decorate their idols with silver and gold. And you know, Jeremiah says, they can't go anywhere. You got to pick them up and carry them. And then so they won't fall over. You got to use a hammer and nails and nail them to the floor so they don't fall over. And they can't do any good. They can't do any evil. So, I mean, it's really talking about idols, not a Christmas tree.
Yeah, one thing that I catch in this is verse 5. They are upright like a palm tree. I would say, with making their idols out of this, they used to do, they would take the branches off. They would keep the trunk like an Asherah pole. Is that what it would be, babe? Something like that.
That's good insight.
A totem pole, you know, possibly, you know, those kind of things. What we picture as a Christmas tree, that's not what this silver and gold is for. These are making idols. And I would say most likely all of the branches are gone except for maybe the top. Maybe they left some hair on top, the few branches that look like some hair. I don't know. That to me hits the palm tree, you know, type of thing. But they're put upright. And yeah, when we read it, but boy, when we were young Christians and we loved the Lord and we wanted to serve him and we didn't know the Bible and we come across somebody reads this to us, you know, how futile these things, they cut down a tree and put it in their house. Ah, you know, it scared the heck out of us. We didn't want to have trees then and everything because we thought we were going against the Lord. So you're hearing the music just like I am. That means we're at the top of the hour and we have to take a station break. So you hang in there. We will be back in a minute, okay?
Jesus does. You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, You can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
All right, we're back. That didn't take too long. Listen, again, I'll remind you, we'd love to hear from you if you've got some insights on Christmas or suggestions to our audience of some rich traditions that you practice. Like we've already heard one from Vicki. If you've got some rich traditions you'd like to pass along, and maybe some of our folks would like to do that. I'd also like to know, you know, your thoughts on Santa Claus. What do you do with that as Christians? Is it something taboo, or is it something you can do? And before we continue in the reading here, I might as well sneak in one more little tradition that we did in the Sasso house. My dad, and I don't know how many people do this, because I've been to people's house at Christmas time, and it's just everybody gets their gifts, and it's mayhem. I mean, there's wrapping paper flying everywhere, and people are just opening up their gifts, and when it's all over with, you don't know who got what, and you don't know... You don't even know. Good thing you hold on to yours if you're careful. You hold on to your own gifts. But my dad had this very careful tradition, and I wonder, come to think of it now, I wonder if it's because we didn't really have a whole lot of money in those days, and I think we pretty much had one gift per kid from the parents, and there were maybe gifts from other people outside the family under the tree. As a matter of fact, I remember back when I was a kid, my dad used to say, you could look, we'd look through the Sears catalog and we'd want to pick out what we wanted for Christmas, or maybe something, it's something you saw on TV. But we'd quite often be going through the Sears catalog, and my dad would always say, you get your age. What that meant is, if you're 10 years old, you could have a $10 gift. If you're 15 years old, you get a $15 gift. I mean, no kidding.
And back then, that was a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
That would buy you a nice present for those. Now, the poor little kids that are two or three, they didn't get as much, you know. But back then, 10 or 15 was a lot of money.
So. Yeah, and keep in mind, that's in the days when we used to walk to school barefoot in the snow, uphill both ways.
That and was, TV you know, was still black and white. Yeah. And The Sears catalog was like the dream thing you waited.
Oh, man, I'm telling you, I used to look through the Sears catalog, the Christmas edition, and I would want to go, what do I want for Christmas? And I'm not kidding. We got to pick our age. And, boy, when you're 15, you get a $15 gift, and that's pretty good, you know. And that
you probably could have got close to a bike back then for that price.
For $15?
Yes,
you know what? I don't remember how much. Yeah, it's all a blur. But it wasn't like $15 now is...
Nothing.
Minimum wage. I don't know what it is. Okay. I was going to tell you the tradition that we had before I continue reading here. Because we had so few gifts, my dad used to have us all, he'd put everyone's gifts in front of them. We'd sit in a big circle in the living room. Of course, we were all in our pajamas on Christmas morning. And he'd say, okay, Mike's the oldest. Mike opens his gift first. And he'd make me read the label on it, who's it from. We open it, and if it's everyone's standing there watching me. It wasn't like everyone's throwing Christmas paper everywhere and everyone's opening their gift. Everyone is watching me open my gift because I was the oldest, and we saw what it was, and you hear the oohs and the ahs, and if the person
and you
was,
better have a smile on your face when you open it.
Well, not if it's a pair of socks. No,
yeah, it was if expected.
If the people who gave it to me were in the room, then I was expected to make eye contact and say thank you, Aunt so-and-so, or thank you, Mom, or thank you to my brothers. When we were younger, the kids didn't really buy stuff for each other.
But did you make stuff for each other?
I don't even remember.
You were boys. I doubt it.
Yeah, the boys. We probably just took each other's toys and broke them. I don't know. But anyway, that was kind of cool looking back at it now, because it showed a real respect. We always acknowledge to everyone, this gift is from so-and-so. It's kind of like individual birthday. You know, I think lots of times at the birthday party, that's how you open up your gifts, right? You say who it's from, you open it, everybody's watching you. Then you open the next gift and everyone's watching you, and you say who it's from, and then you say thank you to the person who gave it. And that's the way we practice Christmas. And I'd open one gift It would go to my brother George, who was next in line. George, now you pick which gift you want to open.
Oh, you always started with the youngest.
Did he start at the youngest?
Yes, we always started with the youngest.
But
he'd
go in order through the family, and we'd take turns.
Now,
and
can you imagine how much fun that was once the boys grew up and got married, and then they started having kids, and we're having like 25 people at Christmas, and everybody's buying everybody presents, and they're still opening them one at a time, and it could turn into a good three-hour ordeal opening all those presents. So, sometimes we would let the kids take extra turns because they had more presents.
Right. Yeah. If somebody had a whole bunch of presents under the tree, then they get to open two or three at a time. And anyway, just different traditions for Christmas time. That's how we did it. We had five boys in the family. I was the oldest. And when it was just a family Christmas, that's what we did. As we started expanding, the boys grew up, got married, and we had kids and grandkids. It got a little bit longer. You better eat before you open your gifts because you'll be starving. So, let's continue reading. We're talking about the second misconception about Christmas, according to answersingenesis.org. And this is from Jeremiah 10. I already read you the text that some people take this and run with it, that a Christmas tree is what Jeremiah is writing about when he says, you know, you cut the tree down, you decorate it with gold and silver, and, you know, they bow down to it, and, it can't talk, it can't do any good or evil. And it's like, that's talking about idols. If you remember, if you've studied the Bible at all, you know that even in the New Testament, idols were man-made things, the works of a craftsman, the work of their hands, and they would bow down and worship these idols that were works of art from a craftsman. And that's all Jeremiah is talking about. He's not talking about the modern-day Christmas tree. So let me finish reading this now. Although there seem to be some similarities to a Christmas tree in this passage, the context reveals that there is really nothing here that forbids their usage. The first 16 verses of this chapter are all about how idols are completely worthless compared to God. Now, I only read the first five verses. You go ahead, Jeremiah 10, read the whole chapter. Get the whole thing in context, okay? And again, what we're doing, if you've just joined us, we're kind of showing some of the Christmas misconceptions that people have, both good and evil. And we've already covered the X representing Christ in Christmas. We were looking at Christmas trees. Are they evil things? Or is that something that's okay to practice?
Well, one thing, if there was any confusion with this and you think that we're taking it out of context or stretching it, if you go back to Jeremiah 10, verse 8, it says, a wooden idol is a worthless doctrine. It's actually clarifying this is an idol, okay? It's not a Christmas tree. So I'll tell you, if you had a problem with it, don't cut the branches off of your tree. Don't nail it to your floor. Don't go and get your best jewelry and
don't
put
decorate
on
it with silver and gold.
And don't bow down to it, okay? That's what it is. But it literally is talking about the silver that's beaten into plates to put around it. That this is what they're talking about. You go out into the forest, you cut down this tree. You find your nice straight tree so you can make a nice idol out of it. And it calls it right here an idol. But when we were reading it as very young Christians, we didn't read that far. They cut down a tree and they decorated it.
Even if we did, we thought, oh no, a Christmas tree is an idol. So the bottom line is don't worship your Christmas tree and you'll do okay, So, let me keep reading on this. Thanks for that input, Linda. I got to be careful where I toggle to here. There. These are instructions to the Israelites that they should not adopt the idolatrous ways of the Gentiles who often carved idols out of the trees that they had cut down. Now, if a Christmas tree is ever elevated to the point where it becomes an idol or a stumbling block to worshiping the Lord, then it would be wrong. Remember, he says, if anything that is not of faith is sin, it says in Romans. And so if you can't do it in faith and you feel guilty about it, then don't do it. You don't need a Christmas tree, okay? We're just talking about clearing up the misconceptions. Is it wrong to have a Christmas tree? Well, don't use Jeremiah 10 because that's not evidence that it's wrong to have a Christmas tree. Okay, some people run with it. Okay, let's see. Oh, however, many people choose to use an evergreen tree as a reminder of the eternal life offered by Jesus Christ to all who receive him as Lord and Savior. Now, that's a beautiful thought. See, so I guess a lot of it depends upon what you're thinking of when you put the tree up. Is it wrong to buy gifts? Is it wrong to put ornaments? Is it wrong to do any of these things? You know, your motive tells you a lot, okay? So we're going to look at the third misconception now about Christmas, taken from answersingenesis.org. And it's that Jesus was born on December 25th. Are you surprised he wasn't? Okay, let me read it to you now. This is another issue that can sometimes turn into a heated discussion, but such argument is unnecessary. The fact is that we really do not know what time of year he was born. Many believe that this date was chosen to coincide with or even replace the pagan holiday known as Saturnalia, but there's no definitive evidence for this. The first reference to December 25th as Christ's birthday comes from Julius Africanus, who wrote in the early part of the 3rd century. Some have argued that the traditional date is impossible because the shepherds would not have been out in the fields at night in the winter. The average December nighttime temperature near Jerusalem are between 35 and 40 degrees Fahrenheit. If this can be used as a guide here, then this would not have been unbearable for these shepherds, but also it's possible that the temperatures were above average that night, so this argument is lacking. Okay, you can argue however you want with it. You know what? Chances are very high. From everything I've read and as a pastor, from all the articles over the years that I've read, chances are very, very high that Jesus was not born on December 25th. And whether it was taken from a pagan holiday and all the different things, I've read articles on both sides on this. You could study this endlessly with differences of opinions on it. I guess I need to finish reading here, but let me just tell you, I believe that if the world wants to say that Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth, and they think he was born on December 25th, I will take advantage of that and have an opportunity to preach Christ. We put a manger scene out in front of our house, and it's all about Jesus. That's always our motto. It's all about Jesus. So actually, this year we don't have any lights. We just have the manger scene up. And if I have an opportunity to point people to Jesus, to make people think about the birth of Christ, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, any of it, I'm going to take advantage of it. I'm going to use that.
And you know, it's funny. Somebody asked you the other day, is yours that house with the manger scene in the front of it? You know what? People do notice it. People do notice it, okay? It's very, very, very hard to find one of those blow-up inflatables that is a manger scene. Now, I was out today and I found another one, so I bought it so that when this one gets holes in it and we wear it out like the other one, we're going to have one. I'm not going to have to hunt like crazy to find one. And this one actually is an L shape, and it has Mary and Joseph and the three wise men. And that's another misconception. They really don't belong there. But you know what? It's okay, because that is the traditional Christmas story that people know, that people share. And I think it's really great that this time of the year, we talked about this, was it Tuesday with Steve, that you go into the mall, you go into the stores, and there is music proclaiming the Lord, glorifying Jesus, and people are singing it in their heads. You know, it's a time we keep thinking, oh, it's so taken away from Jesus. Yeah, the world doesn't look at it like we do, that it's all about Jesus, but the world is still being exposed to Jesus this time of the year. This time and Easter, which we don't like what's happened to Easter either. And we'll get Steve Todd to talk about Easter when it gets closer and everything. But I do love the idea that people out in the world that may not hear the name of Jesus, except for in a cuss word, are hearing it this time of year. They're seeing it. Even one thing that I love is if you're looking for box Christmas cards, for my personal ones, I always design one. But for a box Christmas card that we give gifts to the body in, If you go to Walmart, you will find rows of, they call them inspirational, and they have good messages. They have good Christian messages. And I'm thankful because I don't have to hunt that hard to find those. And actually, Walmart is where I've been able to find the blow up inflatable manger scenes too. They're really hard to find. Even online, they're hard to find. So kudos to Walmart in that they do give Jesus place. They don't totally kick him out of Christmas. You know, he's there. And it's good to find at least some stores that will do that. Now, one thing I want to add here is Bobby wrote about the Christmas tree. For us, we say the tree is a triangle representing the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Also is an evergreen and never changing like God. Also, the lights are the light of the world.
Nice.
You know, now I've seen a couple things up on Facebook, and they're, you know, we feel that people are stretching it when they're taking, oh, this is the candy cane is a Christian thing, and this is a Christian thing, and this is a, but you know what? Why not? Take what's out there and let's put the Christian references to it. How can we look at a tree just like Bobby did? It's a triangle. It's the Father, it's the Son, it's the Holy Spirit, you know? I love that. And instead of resent it and say, oh, come on, don't stretch things, why not? Come on. The world has stretched things with flying reindeer and somebody that goes down your chimney and things like that. Why not turn it around and find a way that it can be applied to Christ?
Okay. Yeah. Now, listen, I'm not going to finish reading. There's a whole paragraph here at the end of this this section on Was Jesus Born on December 25th that gets into a very sophisticated argument about the timing of Zacharias serving in the temple, who was John the Baptist's father, and his wife Elizabeth being pregnant and running into Mary and the baby jumping in her womb when she ran into Mary. And there's a whole sophisticated argument about the timing of this, how it couldn't have been December 25th. I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Have you seen up on Facebook, there's, you know, how they have the cartoons and everything like that. And there's one, I loved it. I almost copied it, but I'm really hesitant to do any of those things. I don't send most of that out. I try not to have too much of a presence up on Facebook. But this one said, the first person who recognizes Jesus as the Savior was an unborn child. And they had Elizabeth and Mary with John the Baptist and Mary.
So that's Mary's, a great pro-life thing.
It's a pro-life. It's a pro-Christian. It showed little bitty Jesus in Mary's belly and a bigger John in Elizabeth's. And
I
him
didn't see that.
Being all excited. I'll have to go look for it. And maybe I'll post it again on my page. But I just thought, yes, how clever. Do you know what I mean? To stop and to think about it, because he was the first person to recognize Jesus as the Savior.
You know what? I've never heard that before, and I didn't see that
one. I like that.
Nowadays, with Facebook and social media, we're hearing things we've never heard before.
Yeah.
Okay, so the fourth misconception about Christmas, taken from Answers in Genesis, is that we should not celebrate Christmas. Again, I'm telling you, I honestly believe God's giving you the freedom, according to how much, you know, according to your faith. If you feel like it's a sin, don't do it. If you feel like there's nothing wrong with it, I don't think it's a sin that you happen to celebrate Christmas. This is an individual choice. But let me just read Answers in Genesis argument. They say that some people have argued that Christians should not celebrate Christmas because it was originally a pagan holiday. Others say that it shouldn't be celebrated because it was never commanded in Scripture. After all, during the Last Supper, Jesus instructed his followers to commemorate his death, but nowhere does the Bible instruct Christians to commemorate his birth. Christmas is a time when Christians celebrate and remember Jesus Christ coming into the world to save sinners. December 25th is not necessarily the date that Jesus was born, but this does not detract from the fact that it is very important to remember that Jesus, to remember Jesus and what he did for us. While we are not commanded to celebrate the birth of Christ, we do see precedent in Scripture that the angels and the shepherds praised God for sending his Son into the world. Christians are definitely permitted to do this. And every day we should thank God for Christ, stepping into the world. I like that. There's more. I want to continue reading here, and then we probably have some closing comments either from Linda or myself or both. Moreover, reminders are stressed in Scripture, such as the account of the 12 stones in Joshua chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, which were to serve as memorials to the children of Israel forever. If you remember, when they entered the Promised Land, they set up 12 stones, a stone to represent each tribe of Israel. And all throughout the Old Testament, particularly, you find memorials established to remember special events. And that's what the communion service is for us. It's a memorial to remember Jesus and what he did for us, remember the cross. And so the author here is saying that Christmas isn't a bad memorial to have. Now, let me continue reading. Sadly, Israel eventually forgot and they embraced worldly ideas. And this is one of the main reasons that Christians should celebrate Christmas, that we will never forget what God has done. However, this is what we see in our world today. England has almost completely lost its Christian heritage, and America is heading down that same dangerous path. The majority of people in this nation have very little, if any, understanding of God's word. As a result, the message of the cross is foolishness to them. And he quotes 1 Corinthians 1:18. This is why it's so important to explain the foundation of the gospel in Genesis when witnessing to others. And of course, this is coming from Answers in Genesis. They always put an emphasis on creation versus evolution. And I like what they're saying here because, listen, folks, when there is a Christian holiday, I don't think we should get so stuffy that we think, well, I don't practice holidays. He's reminding us that Europe, England, that at one time sent missionaries all over the world, they've pretty much lost their Christian heritage. As a matter of fact, England is quickly becoming either an atheist nation or a Muslim nation. Muslims are completely taking over England. I wonder if it would have made a difference if Christians would be more vocal about what they believed, if they would openly celebrate Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his birth. And I just think it's not a bad idea that we take advantage of these holidays to point people to Jesus. And I think that's the argument he's making here.
Well, you know, one thing Bobby put in there is that Jesus would take part in the celebrations. It's not a pagan thing to celebrate. There are things to celebrate. Good point. We celebrate birthdays. Why wouldn't we want to celebrate Jesus's? Now, one of the ways I look at this, and we think we've got so far away, but if we did not celebrate Jesus's birth, would the world know at all? Because Christmas and Easter are the two things where this world is slapped in the face with the reality gospel, of Jesus and the gospel again. Mm-hmm. So, you know what? It's a good thing. Whether we celebrate it on the correct day or not, oh, I think the Lord will forgive us, okay? Because Easter is always on a different day because it's on a Sunday. They got the rules for when Easter's supposed to be, okay? And that's what's followed. And it's not always on one certain day like December 25th, like we have Christmas. But it is a time that as Christians, we get to celebrate and we get to remember what Jesus did for us. But it's also, it's out there. The world sees it. Right. Twice a year, the world has to deal with Jesus. They have to see it, you know. And we did have a caller earlier, and the topic was so far off from where we're at, and we're almost done. If you're still listening, you can go ahead and send a text message to Pastor Mike, and he will answer those questions. That is 208-891-2635. We just didn't want to get off this topic at the very end when there wouldn't have been enough time to handle a totally new topic because we got like 2 minutes left at this point. So I don't know what you want to wrap up with, but, you know, going through this series, I've been kind of poo-pooing Christmas myself. I haven't felt like doing much of anything. But with talking with Steve, with reading through some of these things, it's making me realize that there's a flickering light still going on. Mm. And it happens at Christmas.
Right.
And it happens at Easter. And Christmas is the more acceptable one for people, for the world out there.
Right.
They don't sing Easter songs, but they sing the Christmas songs. You know, they sing about Christ. And I think that little flickering light of the gospel in this nation grows a little brighter this time of year. And I think that's why the Satanists hate it so much, because they want to totally snuff it out, but they can't. Jesus won't be snuffed out as long as he's got true believers here that are making a stand for him. This is going to come forth, you know? So use it. Use it, please. The things we're talking about here, use these when it comes to your family, okay? When it comes to the Christmas tree, when it comes to, what else did we go through already in the very beginning? What was it?
The X.
Yeah. I knew that. I just didn't think of it and put two and two together. And that's why I'm sitting here chuckling about it so much today, because in not wanting to proclaim Christ, they're proclaiming Christ. And I just think that's very funny. And I love what Steve pointed out. You know, it's like, relax, chill, people, enjoy it.
Right.
The world is getting a small taste of Jesus. And if we're just boo-hooing, why'd you take Jesus out? Why don't we just show them Jesus' love instead of complaining they're taking Jesus out of it? Because it's there if we just look around us. Jesus is everywhere this time of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Now, some of what you said, hon, is in part of the wrap-up here. So
I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. Let me just keep reading. Again, I'm reading from answersingenesis.org, four misconceptions about Christmas. And this is, we're getting near the wrap up. We need to explain to believers how God's word is relevant in our times so that Christians will be emboldened to uncompromisingly share the truth with an unbelieving world. Now, there's a lot more, but I hear the music, so our time is up. Folks, it's Friday. Get to church this weekend. And if you're looking for a good church, I'm inviting you personally to Calvary Chapel Eagle. See you there. Lord bless.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look forward.